got the mind, 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 mind. Your business on Thursday. MYOB. Right here on the M.H6LL. In a podcast. My mind. Your own business on Thursday. MYOB, people. Peace.
Y'all heard the intro, but I got something special for my mind. People out there, fans, all of y'all that like OJ the Juice Simpson, man. Man, OJ still is a great person to me. I looked up to OJ. I'm going to start this mind your own business on Thursday, you know? I'm going to start off like that. I saw a podcast, Full Season, F-U-L-L-S-E-S-O-N. Look it up. Please do. It's a good podcast. That OJ. And OJ spoke. And I've always been a fan of OJ. OJ is older than I am. But, you know, you're young and you see that black man running through that airport, and he jumping on shit, and oh shit, go OJ. And then you seen him running on the field, track and field, and you also saw him running on the football, on the gridiron. From USC to the Bills. I really didn't follow him as much when he went to, per se, the 49ers. But I knew more of him when he was a Bill. But anyway, I did a very good interview with OJ. And I got, maybe 20 minutes of it you can hear. But you might want to go, check it out, like I say. If you can't, then listen to it. But I do want to say, with all due respect to Cole and the young gentleman that happened to in that moment of time, shouts out to their families, love y'all all. I know it's like was a never ending story, but I think it's pretty much dead, man. So I don't want to bring it up like I'm talking bad about it, bringing up the dead. So I just was admiring OJ and his way of handling not only that case, but doing 9 years in the penitentiary. So, I'm not going to talk too much on it, but, I must say, with my honest opinion, why would a man that lives in the neighborhood that he lived in could have cheated, could have kept cheating, doing what he wanted to do? Why would he double back to lose everything? So that's just my honest opinion on it after listening to him talk. I think he's a very good person. I believe that he may have been around some very high influential and elitist, people. Maybe he needed a little taming, But out of all of it, he always kept the oath. He never said anything about anyone, took his time, did his grind. And I appreciate that about OJ Simpson. Yo, you got the mind. Your business when it comes to OJ. Woo! That was cold. Simpson. You know what I'm talking about. Let's keep it up. 32. Let's go.
/fine. Pop in your zip code and it'll literally show a store near you that has Happy Dad. Sometimes it's hard to find, but it's in a lot of 7-Elevens. Shit, look, this one even has a sexy sign up, right? Let's go. And all the 7-Elevens usually have the new fruit punch flavor, too. If you haven't tried the new fruit punch, trust me. Oh, look, this shit, too. 7-Eleven's not playing. That's so fucking cool to see straight up. Yeah, boys, come to 7-Eleven, try the new fruit punch, go to happydad.com, find a store near you that has Happy Dad. Let's get into this pod. This is a killer pod. Like, we absolutely murdered it. OJ takes a stab at the podcast game in this, so it's really cool.
Gentlemen, haven't done this in a while.
When was the last time you did this?
Long time. You know, I get invites. Everybody's asking. But, you know.
Do you ever entertain those or no?
No.
Just no reason, don't care?
It's like, for what? I mean, if it's football, like I've done a couple with guys from Buffalo. So I guess I have done a few, not on TV, but they're mostly with writers or radio.
Right. Well, yeah, we appreciate you coming.
I try to keep it in the sports world, you know. Not that I mind. I'd stay away from last century.
Yeah.
You know, because I did a ton of those interviews back then, and it made no difference. Nobody changes their mind. Nobody, you know. So I don't mind talking about other stuff, you know, like anything that happened this century.
Well, this is a pretty crazy episode of the Full Send Podcast. We got O.J. Simpson. We're in Vegas. We appreciate you coming.
Yeah, no. No problem. It's home for me. I've been living in Vegas now for, 6 years? I was living in Miami, and I had planned to go back to Miami after my stint in camp. But it was like everybody here, every restaurant, it was like they were all apologizing to me.
Really?
For what this judge did to me.
Yeah, not the most recent case. In the robbery case?
Yeah. But robbery, it was my stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And I got it. You know, California rule, it was my stuff, and they gave it to me. So I do have, most people don't know that.
Yeah.
But it was my property that some friends, who I thought were friends, had somehow stolen or got their hands on, and they were trying to sell it. And
memorabilia, right?
Yeah, memorabilia. It was my memorabilia. Yeah. You know, I hate it when the media say, "Oh, memorabilia, guys." No, this was my stuff. My mother's wedding album. You know, pictures of my kids being born. All kind of stuff. Now, all of it wasn't in that room because, but the guy that they were trying to get to fence it made him send pictures, and he kept calling me. And he sent me pictures of what they had and said, "Juice, look, you know, I could sell this stuff for them and make money, but this is personal stuff. These guys shouldn't be doing this." And one thing led to another. Nine years after, you weren't even
the one armed, right?
Pardon me?
I wasn't armed at all.
Yeah. And the guy who was armed had a license. He was a security guy. He was given his license by the state of Nevada.
So you get a 33-year sentencing, right?
Yeah.
Well, how do you even react to that?
I always say, for what? What did
if
I
people
do?
Said that was the judge, like, went harsh on you. Do you think that was too harsh of a sentence?
Harsh?
I think people would agree with that.
Everybody knew what that was about, so... Yeah.
So what's your mindset when you hear that?
You know, I'm a firm believer in the legal system. I think you could disagree with it, but either you're going to honor it or you're not going to honor it. I was convicted by jury. You know, I will question how in two trials, a civil trial and this trial, 24 jurors, not one was black, that, you know, decided my outcome. That always kind of bothered me, but I do believe in the legal system. So once I was convicted, when I got up to Lovelock, I told the jury, I told the DA, I'm sorry, the warden, I said, I'm gonna be the best inmate you had, you've ever had here. And I think when it came time for me to get paroled, he pretty much made it clear, even though it was another warden by then, but they all made it pretty clear that I honored the outcome, and, you know? You can't say you're an American, you believe in the legal system. We see it all the time now.
Yeah.
You can't say that. And then you dog, when you don't like the outcome, you dog it, right? Obviously, I didn't like this outcome. I didn't think I did anything wrong. Both of the victims didn't think I did anything wrong. They thought I shouldn't have been the guy to go. But once again, we all know what that was about.
Yeah.
But I was convicted by a jury.
Yeah.
So I felt it was important that I honored that.
So let's talk about those 9 years, though.
Okay.
You've never talked about jail, too, right? Since you've been out?
No.
What was it like?
It was, prison is different than jail,
Yeah.
Jail is horrible, if you ask me, right? The prison I was at, it was called Love Locked. It was a couple of unusual things. One, it was probably more whites than there were blacks and Hispanics combined. It was unusual in that probably 70% of the people there were there for some kind of sex crime. So I don't know what that says about you guys. But it was, guys would all come up and they'd choose, because most of the guys felt I shouldn't have been there. And they felt they would have punched the guys or done something with the guys. But I would tell them, look, man, I'm just going to do my time. I'm here to do my time. And I'm not asking you why you're here. I don't want to talk about why I'm here. I just want to do my time and go home. For me, because early on, a couple of things had happened where I ended up had to mediate some stuff.
On with, like, other people in...
Well, in prison, you got Serenios, you got Martanios, you got ADH, you got A-Dubs.
Yeah, what is this, like, gangs?
Gangs, yeah. A-Dubs is Aaron Warriors, the Dubs is Warriors. Serenios are mostly Southern California guys. Hispanics and Daniels are Northern California guys. We had a real nice athletic program there. And because I was coaching the team, and I loved a softball team.
You didn't play?
No.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, my knees are gone. I got a bad elbow. Only thing I do is swing a golf club. That's about it. With me. But I coached these old guys because there was a team called the Braves, and they were the Mexicans, Hispanic, but they were Mexicans. And they had won 3 years in a row, and they had been undefeated the previous 2 years. So I had this group of guys. It was like five white guys, four or five Hispanics, four or five black guys, and all kind of older guys, right? And I'm coaching them, and we made it to the championship against the Braves. And I got to tell you, it's one of the highlights of my life. I remember it was the sixth game. We got cheated out of the sixth game. And a couple of the guys on my team, the hell with these guys, I quit. I'd say, man, look, come on, guys. You're going to get to play a seventh game. Who's ever got to play in a seventh game?
How's, like, serious was this taken? Like, very, very serious?
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty serious baseball league.
Yeah. Well, the basketball, too, and soccer, but this is softball. And, I talked to my guys. And said, come on, man, we're going to play this game. And in the seventh inning of the seventh game, we won the game. And you would see this group of, hey, let's face it, murderers, rapists, robbers running to the mound, jumping up and down like literally 12-year-olds. These guys were so happy. And it was an interesting day because the system, the jail system knew it. They brought the guys over from what they call high intensity, you know, the protected guys, they brought that yard over and they stood at attention. So the entire prison is watching this game.
This is kind of crazy. But like, are you recruiting guys or?
No, no. It's just, you know, they had this team and they asked me to coach them. And I just coached them. Yeah.
Nice. And what year do you think, like, how far into your sentence was this?
Maybe the third year.
Okay. So what else were you doing there to, like, stay busy?
Well, my job was at the gym. When I first got there, they put you in, like, protective custody. And I had to argue with the warden that put me on the main yard. I don't want to be in protective custody. And he would say, you don't know these guys, OJ. These guys, I said, man, I didn't grow up in Brentwood. You know, I didn't grow up in Brentwood. I probably know these guys as well as you know these guys. Now, all the guys knew me. Most of the guys were sports fans. And I was probably the most easily protected guy there.
Yeah,
nobody ever got out of line with me. I remember there was a buddy of mine there. And, we call him Bellagio. Because he had robbed the Bellagio. I don't know if y'all remember with the motorcycle helmet and all of that stuff. And he was playing for another team and coaching and playing. And we got into an argument at the third base line, right, over a play. And he's kind of yelling at me, and I'm yelling at him. But while I'm yelling at him, I could see all of these brothers running across the yard, right? And I realized, something's about to happen, right? So I had to say, guys, no, no, man, come on, man. We're just arguing about this play, right? Yeah. But my guys were the shot callers for the Sereno's, shot callers for all the guys, you know. We had a situation where we had this black guy, I guess. They had what they call a store. You know, on store day, you could buy stuff, you know, ramen noodles and stuff. A lot of guys got money, so they buy a lot of stuff, and then they sell it during the week. Mm. You know, when I first got there, cigarettes was the money, you know.
Yeah.
Then they stopped smoking after about 3 years, and then became stamps, became the thing. And this brother, we knew he stole this little Hispanic guy's store. And we knew it because that night, he smelled popcorn all over. Him and this guy, they got popcorn. So the next day, I noticed that in one of the other units, outside of units, that a lot of the Hispanic guys were getting together. So it was apparent what was going to happen, right? My cellie was a guy named Smoke, and he was a shot caller, and I said, Smoke, man, get them together. And I said, look, guys, I will pay for everything and replace everything that this guy stole. But y'all can't take it beyond that because we're going to all get locked down.
Yeah.
We'll be locked down for a month. We won't be playing softball. We'll be stuck in our rooms, you know. And I think that, it wasn't what I was trying to do, but that put me in a position from that point on when there was things going on, I would be the guy that they would come to kind of mediate.
So sure, nothing happened? Nothing happened in the end?
Nothing happened.
So you're like the godfather.
Well, I don't want to call myself the godfather, but most of the time what you end up doing is saying you and you go in the room and just the two of you, and they'll go in the room and they'll tap one another up and they come out and more than not, they'll shake hands and it's over.
Yeah.
You know, opposed to you get in it and his friend helps him. The problem was sometimes, like, let's say you got a big black guy and you got a little Hispanic guy. One thing I'll tell you about the Hispanic guys, they will fight.
Yeah.
They will fight if they have to fight, right? So you couldn't let the two of them go. So you'd get the shot caller for that
group. Wait, so you'd make it an even fight?
Yeah, he would have to have his sergeant of arms of his own group take his guy.
So you're like the godfather, you're like the coach, you're like the Dana White of the prison too.
I was just the guy that they came to kind of mediate, because I wasn't taking any sides. Well,
what was your relationship on the other side with like the warden and the guards?
Well, they all, you know, I only had one problem with the guard in all the time I was there. I mean, the warden, both wardens that were there pretty much let me know that they thought I got a raw deal, you know. But what am I going to do?
Yeah.
I was convicted. I'm here. And all I can do is try to be the best inmate I can be.
Do you think you got any, like, special treatment just based off your status and who you are?
No, there was no. I didn't have one write-up in all the time I was there. You know, I was me. I do what I always do.
Yeah.
You know. So, no, I didn't have any write-ups. And you got guys who try to hustle. You know, I got tons of mail. Tons of mail. So what I would do on Sundays, I get this, be a group of guys, and we'd go in this one room, and I'd throw all the mail out, and they would take their portion of the mail, because they were all looking to get, you know, male buddies, girl male partners,
yeah,
you know, stuff like that.
What's a male girl partner?
I probably just didn't word that right. They were looking for male partners, girl. People to write them.
Oh, okay.
Most of these guys got nobody.
Right. Yeah.
And so they would get the letters, and unfortunately, you would have a couple of guys would try to hustle me, hustle the girls, because a lot of letters, if I can do anything for you, OJ, let me know, blah, blah, blah. And
girls were writing you that? Pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
And they send you pictures, too?
Yeah, yeah.
So you're getting nudes in jail?
I can't say nudes, because the prison actually reads your mail. Yeah,
the warden takes a look first.
Yeah. No,
he keeps some for himself.
Yeah, I didn't trust any of them, you know.
Yeah.
You get catfished like that Notre Dame guy did.
Monte Teo.
I never believed any of the pictures. Even though I did, I have since met one of the girls that had written me and had sent me pictures, and she's everything that.
Did any of these girls come and visit you?
I wouldn't have taken them.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have accepted.
Anybody, like, come and visit you? You were surprised? You're like...
No. You know, all my friends came, family and friends. You know, the ones I expected. Yeah, they all came.
Was there anything scary? Any scary moments in jail that you witnessed? Like, not necessarily involving you, but just anything you kind of witnessed, like fights or crazy shit?
You know, you've seen fights. I don't know how to word this, but we call Lovelock Prisneyland.
Prisneyland?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it you know, in this state, you got Ely and High Desert, where you can get shipped at any time. It wasn't the case at Lovelock. What was interesting about Lovelock is that it probably had more lifers than any other prison. And that would make you naturally think, that it would be super dangerous.
Yeah, that's what...
But it wasn't, because these guys knew this is the best they ever going to have. The lady who cooked for us, she tried real hard to make sure the food was good. We had so much freedom. I mean, you during the course of the day, you're out of your cell or out of your unit far more than you're in it. We had basketball league, senior basketball league, soccer league, softball league, volleyball league. We even had an Olympics during the course of the year. So these guys knew that this is the best they're going to ever have.
Why, yeah, I was going to say, with all these serious convictions, why is it like it there? Why is it like this?
I'm sorry?
Like, was it? You said it's all murderers, rapists, all these serious, like...
Well, mostly sex crimes. Well,
but it seems like it's...
I can just tell you what we thought was because it was mostly white. But that...
But it's so much freedom.
I don't want to go there, but that's what we thought.
Yeah.
You know. It was an experience.
And was that jail in Vegas?
No. It's in the middle of nowhere.
In Nevada or Cali?
Nevada. Okay. It's up outside of Reno.
Everyone's probably committed some sort of sex crime while they've been in Nevada, though, right? Yeah, I mean, it's kind of common here. I mean, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, it's in Nevada. It's hard to get to, and it's as I said, because of so many sex crimes, it's almost the only prison that these sex abusers could go to. I give you one example. This guy he got dumped. He was up for parole, and he got dumped, a 3-year dump, I think. And he was so mad that he just said, told the warden he wants out. He wants to go down the high desert because his family all lives in Vegas. And it literally takes you about 9 hours, crisscrossing the state, getting up to where Lovelock is. So they kind of gave him a warning, but he still said, nope, you want to come to high desert to be closer so his family can visit. And literally, a month later, he was back, and they had tatted him up. They had tatted him up pretty good down in high desert.
Damn.
Because in prison, they know what you did. Mm-hmm. You know, there's that in-prison telegraph or whatever. They know what you did, and a lot of prisons, you can't. You can't be a rapist, especially with kids and stuff. So, yeah.
I mean, did that make you feel like out of place being in that kind of situation with all these people?
Well, I feel out of place. I was out of place to begin with, but you know, you try not to ask guys. Me personally, I don't want to ask guys. Some of them you know because you saw them on TV. Mm. And I took a course. You take these various courses, and there's this one course called Victim Impact, to where you have to write to your victim, and you get up in front of everybody, and you have to say what you would say to your victim. It's a hard class for me because I thought I was a victim.
Yeah.
You know, but this one guy, we call him Big Ten, which he didn't like, but I don't know. This is cable.
YouTube.
Okay, so fuck him, was our attitude. Because in that class, he said the boy was a Big Ten. Yeah, but he was a Big Ten. And at that point, I walked out of the class. I mean, the lady who was teaching the class said, you can't do that. You got to stay in there. I said, I can't hear this guy.
Yeah.
I can't listen to this guy.
And, yeah.
So you do, you do see situations that you've seen them on TV or you've seen them somewhere, and you just, hey man, stay away from me.
Yeah,
yeah,
for sure. What other things did you do in there to like keep busy? Is there any other hobbies you picked up?
I worked at the gym, so I started my day. I normally didn't go to breakfast. I would buy milk and cereal, and you can buy ice and get an ice chest, so your milk will last for 2 or 3 days. So I'd go straight to the gym. I worked in the gym with about 20.
My bangers is better, and I don't fuck with you, we gon' be strangers forever. Delta on album mode, I'm dangerous as ever. Sweep up boys, get your pancreas severed. I don't rock Carhartt. I might say some shit to cross the line like a bar star. Organ meat, I'm all heart. These rappers wanna hate, tell them get up off the top part. Rap delicacy, I serve foie gras before I fuck with the law. I'd rather curse all law. 1-2, I shine like the sun do. My mind like Sun Tzu, the fuck is you gon' do? I possess skill and I'll be damned if I fumble. Finesse better than all, fuck being humble. Delta motherfucker, alias is Dodgy John. Like a ranch hand bullshit, I be on. Move like an army of a couple thousand strong. Open palm slap ya, who want me on some classics? Delta 9 on some classic shit.
Classic shit.
Ha, ha, ha. If you from where I'm from, you probably got locked for slapping a bitch. For
feminist, don't get it twisted. Slap a whole lot of lady, that's a big difference. But I still big dick them. I lick the inside of blunts, twist them. With the honey, got a finger licking. I'm piffing. You might say to yourself, yo, you talking high. Ain't afraid to catch a fade where the barber shop. I don't talk a lot, I ain't with the conference. Air Force One's looking clean with the joggers. We the two titties, eight fingers, 250s. Move too shifty in shoes that's too crispy. Rush hour traffic at five, I get busy. Sipping sour mash whiskey in the jar, thin Lizzie. It's Mr. Lyrical, Mr. Hip Hop Elitist. Genius, if you was smart, you hop up off the penis. Walk around with your hipster shirt and your jeans ripped. MCs and divas on that day TV shit. They fed it on that dig when I said it. What you think I'm saying? Some shit to later regret it. Forget it. Unapologetic to my exit. If you calling this a cook up, I got your breakfast. Yo, abracadabra, reach down to grab you. I don't make music no more. I make magic, magic, magic. Watch out.